Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
But how's it called?
Phyllis Manger at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go, that's class!
There is no such thing as...
Doctor Who, Series 5, Episode 2. The Beast Below. With special guests, Peter and Paul.
All right, I have a poem for all of you.
Okay.
When it comes to episodes of this show, some are good and some are no go. But the worst it can be, and I do not kid, is if an entire episode is really just mid. It's why I prefer episodes that blow, unlike today's episode, The Beast Below.
Whoa.
I just wrote that in 5 seconds.
Oh, there's a poet.
You're a poet and you maybe knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Beast Below. Hello. Oh, there we go. There's another poem. we're all jazzing today. The Beast Below was broadcast on the 10th of April 2010. Now, what we've done now, what we started doing is basically, Peter, you might remember when we tried doing this before, there was a whole box office game that ended up derailing the entire thing because I got the month wrong on one episode. And the thing is that this is, the box office for this we already did, but there's a reason why I want to run it again. So last week, Clash of the Titans was number one. The thing about Clash of Titans is that it has a big aquatic creature in it that is maybe it's known for being somewhere else, much like the space whale. Yes, and much like the space whale, and much like this, much like the Beast Below is about a beast below. The Clash of Titans, Michelle has a beast below called Danny Houston, and he's got a beast below as well.
This is the first episode I'm here. This is the first time I'm here. I cannot believe we're still talking about Danny Houston.
11th hour is 90% Danny Houston talk.
Can you please introduce our guest?
They can introduce themselves because they are the hosts of Snapped, and they get, you gotta get snappy when it comes to Snapped, because you know it breaks down, you know, so many things we love about music. But they can introduce themselves if they want and break that down before I kind of I ruin that the introduction any further.
I'm gonna say on our podcast we talk about a different type of queen than this podcast, but
multiple queens.
And we'll never forget David's rendition of Meghan Trainor, I Am Your Mother.
I can't listen to that song, honestly, ever again. I was thinking about you singing it. And you do better job than Miss Meghan does.
Well, much like Meghan Trainor makes music for...
Did not connect this to Danny Houston, please.
I'm going to say, like, much like Meghan Trainor makes music for, you know, not even like Tesco, like fucking... there's a shop over here called Deals, which is Deal with a Z, and it's where you buy all this stuff. Yeah, she writes music for Deals, and we do the same thing, I think, sometimes. The Beast Below, directed by Andrew Gunn, and the problem is now I had notes for Andrew Gunn, and then I forgot to write them down in my notes. So you're going to listen to me Google Andrew Gunn in real time.
Oh, well, I think I read that his kids are in this.
Oh, I did read this. Yes, there must be the kid at the start.
Is that the demon headmaster? Is with his kids.
Which kids are in this?
Andrew Gunn, the director, who... let me read you some of Andrew Gunn's credits. He has worked on Primeval,
Woo!
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's worked on Life on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked on Waterloo Road. He's worked on Hollyoaks.
Oh, we're going downhill at this point.
Yeah.
We are. He worked on if you want to know how his career is going. So he directed, like, you know, Hollyoaks and stuff. Like fairly recent, like last year. Actually, no, he didn't even do that. No, he directed in 2020. He produced Hollyoaks last year, and he is a second unit director on a TV show that came out last year. After directing those stuff, so he's kind of gone. He's on the downward turn a bit. Also, if you Google Andrew Gunn, there's another Andrew Gunn who looks very much like him. Only he's got like he looks like, you know, the whole thing of, like, you know, there's a whole meme going around now of people using like the Chad filter on like the 10th Doctor and stuff. He looks, there's another Andrew Gunn. I'll send you a picture now. He looks like the kind of Chad filter version of the real Andrew Gunn. But written by Stephen Moffat. Who's that guy?
Who?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who that guy is. But I can tell you, and this is something else that's new, in a sentence. And this sentence is a paragraph long, so bear with me. The Doctor and Amy go to a spaceship that's carrying all of Britain, but whoa! It's actually a big whale. The Doctor almost renders brain dead. Also, the Queen's there. Anyway, Amy stops the Doctor and the whale continues carrying the British people. And then Winston Churchill's on the phone. He's like, Doctor, I need you. There's something here going on. I don't know. I need you, mate. And then a Dalek kind of rolls into the shot. And then Doctor's like, let's go to Winston Churchill. And then there's a crack on the side of the whale.
Amy's like, Doctor, yeah. I need you. And clamps onto his thigh.
there's a weird thing in this. And we'll probably get to it.
But one weird thing?
There's one weird thing. It's a very normal thing otherwise, but there's something weird that, like, and I know I kind of touched on it in Vampire's Events as well. So much of this season's like an accidental reworking of Series 1.
Totally.
And this pulls like direct imagery from End of the World. Like the whole, like, you know, they're in front of the window while everything's moving past. They're kind of, you know, having this serious conversation about, like, you know, whatever. There's a very, 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 very belabored and repeated point of, like, if you were the last of your kind. To the point where that really dramatic scene where Karen Gillan whips around is like, do you get the metaphor, Doctor? If you were the last of your kind and this happened to you, wouldn't you feel this way? It's like something like that. And then, like, later on you have, like, you know, the late season two part that's written by the next showrunner, which happens in series one. You have, like, the third episode is like a Mark Gatiss penned period piece. There's probably more than I'm forgetting, but you know what? Who cares? It's a strange episode. It's a strange episode of television where the Doctor kind of goes 0 to 180 in a very kind of a way that I don't know really necessarily kind of works for me, but you know what?
Yeah.
The floor. So, you know,
I remember that was definitely Paul's reaction the first time we watched this.
Yeah, it was so jarring to me because I feel like 11 at this point is quite childish, quite like fun. Like, obviously, the 11th Doctor opens with the custard and everything. I feel like it's so bright. And then he just turns to Amy and just spits at her. I don't know. I'm just like, what is he so angry about?
He spits on her face. Shut the fuck up.
Yes, and then she keeps speaking, and he's like, "No, Ash," and she's like, "Okay." And then the Queen tries to speak, and then he's like, "And who are you?" I don't know. It comes out of nowhere. I really don't enjoy it. And I think when we chatted about it, it is a bit of like Time Lord Victorious, him coming out and feeling like he knows best and he can kind of make decisions. But it just comes off the start of the episode of him being like, "We don't get involved. We don't do anything." And then Amy's like, okay, well, then I'll hit the forget button and I'll, like, not get involved. And he's like, what the fuck have you just done, wench? And it's like,
what? Ah! How dare you do exactly what I told you to do?
Literally, yeah. It's very jarring in the episode for me. And I just remember being like, if I was Amy, I would just love to go back to Rory. Like, it'd be kind of nice.
Amy wants to do anything but go back to Rory. Like.
I'm honestly very excited. This is the first ever episode that I'm with Peter and Paul. I'm excited because of this, because the whole episode I was watching and I was like, it really does feel like Stephen Moffat was possessed by the ghost of Stephen Moffat writing for the 12th Doctor. And it's like, and then he hates everyone. And I feel like that you just put it perfectly. You just put it perfectly when you said that. But that whole scene is like, it is so, and now I must put my big boy boots on, but also it's so rushed. He's immediately like, I am going to kill this whale and I will never be the doctor again. And you all, like, and the whole time you're like, guys, please chill. Can we stop? Like, no one stops to like think for a second. Like, because they give it away so easily. They're like, yeah, the whale came to us. And I'm like, and you guys didn't go, why did the whale come to us? Like, it'd be one thing if they were like, we saw the whale and we captured the whale and now we're doing this and this was the only way we could survive. And then I'd be like, okay, now there's at least a reason for everyone to be so like, oh, he just found out where's the poop. He just found out where the poop is. But but for this, it's like, it just feels like the whale got here. They were like, well, clearly this whale wants us to torture it, right? Yeah. What other possible reason could this giant alien come to Earth?
Can they in our say moment of need? They're probably Tories, so it makes sense that they
they love a British flag, to be fair.
They do.
I wanted to know, David, where you think the South is at this point, because Northern Ireland gets a shout out, but not the South is floating somewhere else. Wait.
I had to ask because I am not from the Isles, so and I do know there is a rivalry between you guys, but when the Doctor was like the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland, I immediately went, where's Southern Ireland? Like, what happened to them?
We probably died like straight away. You know, we probably like our ship crashed straight away. We are recording this on the day our Prime Minister quit. He just quit. He's just like, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this anymore.
That's great. That's pretty oddly well-timed. The thing is, it's the reason I bring this up is because they then say like, oh, Scotland has its own ship. And then they're like, ha, 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 that's funny. But in my head, I'm like, so did Scotland also find another space whale? Like, it just feels like so much of this is so like haphazard and rushed, and at no point did anyone ever stop to think like, what are we actually doing here? Like, what's going on? What are we actually doing with the spaceship? And the fact that the other planets came out, like the other countries also got their spaceships, but Britain didn't, so they needed the Star Whale. And the thing is, this whole time you're wondering about the Star Whale only comes in, what, like 30 minutes into the episode? The most of the episode is the fucking Smilers, who are like the most whatever villain in the world. Oh,
we have to talk about the Smilers, because the Smilers are I'm sorry, like, they are kind of iconic, but also
they're
guys walking around like Action Man villains. There is an Action Man villain that is like a Smiler, so you know
I'm sorry for talking so much. I just need to ask this one question about the Smilers that has bugged me for 15 years, ever since I saw this episode. So they establish that the Smilers have a smiling face, and then their face turns around and there's a frowny face. But then the first turns around again and there's an even frownier face, leading me to ask, where is the smiley face? Because there's only two sides to this face. That's how this works. So where did the smiley face go, and where did the even frownier face come from?
Did they keep it hidden?
I feel like a triangle in my head.
I don't know. I feel like they set up too much in that cold open that doesn't make sense, even though it's a good cold open. Like,
it's really good
cold open. If the payoff is the Star Wheel does all this because it loves children, why, if you get bad grades, do you get thrown into the Star Wheel?
Which they historically, and they know they never eat. So why do you have to fall in that slide? Why am I going to Peter Pan Land?
Like, why does the Smiler get so mad at you and then you get sacrificed because you like got a zero? And they tell you all to shun the other child who got a zero.
Tories. I mean, it's the Tory fucking policy in these days, you know?
That are getting the separate lift for losers.
No, but he got under the lift illegally, and that's why he got sucked into the ground. But
that seems like too much of a it's like, where did Alfred go? Oh, he went under the wrong lift and he got fed to the fucking beast underneath. Like, dude, that seems like too little for such a high thing. Because they say that it only spares kids, right? Implying that they have been feeding people to this thing for a while now. It's just like, it needs to be like a bigger thing than gets you fed to the whale. If it's as little as you got on the wrong elevator, motherfucker, get ready to meet the beast below.
Yeah, like I feel like at the end, it should have been like the girl who came out of the bush in
yes,
in the forest of the night. And like he just like slops out of the whale's mouth, like yes, unharmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really like the smilers and the design, but like, I feel like even, like you say, at the last 10 minutes, they're suddenly like, and they're called Smilers, and we're the Winders, and all. And yes, I'm like, where is this lore coming
from? I remember, because like before the show comes out, then the action figures leak, and there were two mm-hmm. different action figures for the Smilers, and I remember one was called Peter, and I was so excited, because I was like, there's going to be a Peter. Does he even speak? I don't even know. But like, the action figure was cool, because you could turn his head. So like they were wearing a hood, and then you could turn like a Lego face, like spin it round. But like Peter is just a random winder who has no lines.
Oh, he's one of the winders.
But he's a winder that turns into a smiler.
Oh, they're like, oh.
Yeah. But then my question about the winders is this. What purpose, why do they need to be smilers? Because all the winders do is just follow people and then knock them out and then bring them to Queen Elizabeth. So what purpose is there for them to be? Why do they have to be? Oh, I guess it's because she's been there for like 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. So I get, but she forgets. So wouldn't she just anyway? Oh my God! There's
yeah.
So
I think
much.
I think he set up too many different ideas because like one scene would be cool with it, and then yes, it's like, oh, that mm-hmm. has to fit in the plot. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the cold open feels like a different episode, or it feels like it was a two-parter.
I wish it was a two-parter, but I also wish it was only 20 minutes long. Like, it's one of those ones where it's like
it should have been a Tardisode.
yeah. Like, I feel like there's so many good ideas, but like, I just keep going back to the point, like you say, like they've been doing this for thousands of years, and the second like they're like, actually, should we be like hurting this whale, torturing it? They're like, yeah, let's make it brain dead right now. Like, you've been torturing it for 300 years. Surely 5 more minutes to discuss would be fine.
That's a good point. I never thought about that. They're so like, I cannot, not even a single minute must pass. I mean, I also think the system as a whole, the problem is also that, you know, at the end they figure out the solution. Well, first of all, they figure out the solution is just let the space whale go because the star whale actually wanted to help you all along. That's great. Then, one, why did you eat so many people then? Right, because the star whale ate people, right?
Yeah.
Two, if the solution was that simple, it still doesn't like remove the guilt that everyone in the ship has, because for hundreds of years they've all been pressing the forget button. Like, and it's such a small thing that I find it hard to believe that. Well, first of all, they lie. The booths make no. Sorry, I just realized this. If the booths are a lie, and if you press protest, you get fed to the beast, why have the booths at all? You know? Like, why give people the illusion of choice if the choice does not matter? You didn't need the booths. The booths may have no actual purpose, because you just feed the people who press protest. So there can't be people who press... You can't get to 1% pressing protest, you know? Like, it just feels like if you think for a moment about anything in this story, you go like, what the fuck is going on here? It is the world's biggest improv game where everyone just going, yes, and there's booths, and there's this, and there's winders, and you're like, please calm down and just take a beat.
Yeah, because like, what is even the point of those like scorpion like tendrils that are coming out of the ground as well?
That's the
it's beast.
Like,
it's so cool.
But like, if the beast is like neutral, then why is it whipping around?
No, they don't need to be anywhere.
Why does it attack Amy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's random.
Right. No, it's
very strange. That random bit where is it like the tendrils coming out in the tent and there's just like magpie electricals in the mm-hmm. background?
Yes. Like, and then Amy gets like gassed by a ring.
Yeah, that ring. Oh my God. The gassy ring.
Oh, that they never use.
Yeah, never.
I'd see a doctor about my gas ring recently.
Also, the reveal that, you know, oh, this mask is an antique and it has it's perfect for your face. Therefore, you are 200 years old. I was like, this is a leap. This is a leap. Let's take a step back, because there has to be better ways for you to reveal that actually she's been 200 years old. You don't have to do the whole mask thing. Also, they delay it so much. They're like, we're working on the highest authority. And from the moment they say highest authority, you go, it's her, right? She forgot and she said to never let her remember. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I knew this. Yeah, that's great. I don't know, man. It's just like nothing about the system in the world that this story takes place makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it at the same time, it's not stupid enough for me to be angry at it.
Yeah, like I feel like there's like a bit of comedy missing. Like it needs a bit of a Benny moment or something, or right. a character mm-hmm. who is funny, because everyone is so serious.
Right, and yeah. I think compared to The End of the World, where there's so many brilliant, like Cassandra, obviously, yeah. so many good characters that they introduce you to, and like Rose introduced to. I feel like Amy must be like, oh my god, everybody here is so boring. Are there like whingy children who yeah. are like getting spat out or like.
Or spitting on me?
Or,
like,
there's wine. Or, like, you know what I mean? It's just. There's no joy in it. I agree that it's like. There's not a lot of levity. Which yeah. when the doctor turns so evil, it's like, well.
I also don't know what's going on at the start of season 5 where they just will not give Amy her official outfit. Like, why is she a policewoman and now she's in her nightie for a whole episode? Like, 3 episodes to get your outfit that we saw in the action figure.
Well, because technically these stories all take place one after the other.
I know, but why, I remember all the press at the start about how she was a policewoman yeah. and all mm-hmm. this. Is like, what was the need for her to be a policewoman in the first episode and then be in her nightie?
The costume yeah. is more than like, yeah, like actually just like, why can't you just run inside and put some clothes on? Which was worried the doctor was going to leave, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which makes sense, mm-hmm. but yeah.
It just seems a bit a man making a woman be in her
yes, well, nightie. Maybe Liz should have given her like,
yeah, a robe or something.
Yeah. yeah. Also, she's covered in sick. She lands on the world.
Yes. That's like a gunk fetish.
Like slime, like maybe slime, like Katy Perry.
I just imagine her be like, "Doctor, can I take a shower?" Like, no, human, get down from me today. Shut the fuck up.
Just yeah, that part is when he's like, "I don't want to hear another human speak ever again." Yeah.
Also, it's like. Okay. It does feel a little bit like condescending for the doctor. Like, don't you get these situations every week? Like, what is it about this one yeah, that makes you go like, this is it, no more. you fuckers cross the line. Like, come on.
Yeah, like I feel like if this had come after a Dalek episode, maybe I would get why something right. was coming out. But it's just like, okay, you were like having fun 3 seconds ago.
Yeah. Oh my god, you are right. It would work if this was after Victory of the Daleks. Damn, that's a really good point. It's kind of like, yeah, because then the doctor being mad would make sense. It would,
but then you miss out on the teaser that they definitely act on in Victory of the Daleks, where Churchill's like, yeah, yeah. I need your help, there's something here. And then in Victory of the Daleks, he's like, actually, I didn't need your help at all.
Yeah. Actually, it was bringing me a cup of tea, so.
Yeah.
In bed above, we're deep asleep. While greater love lies further deep. This dream must end, this world must know. We all depend on the beast below.
Man, I don't know. I just think, you know, this the weirdness and the shagginess of the story is like hilarious and funny and entertaining to just look at and go like, what is going on? But so I can't even say that this episode blows. I could just say like, it's mid. There are worse episodes in this series. I actually need to back that up now. Hold on, let me think.
What do you think? It's kind of weird that the story is like, you know, this is a whole story about like, you know, oh, we've been torturing this animal that wants to help us. And then the resolution is like, because you're even like a twist with when the resolution is like, oh yeah, it's actually going to keep helping you guys anyway. Even though you've been...
Yeah. There's no blame. You guys didn't do anything wrong. Everyone just keep going.
It's like the whale has Stockholm syndrome. It's fine.
Yeah.
Why does the space whale love heads so much? Like, why does it love children?
The
so
space
much?
Whale's a pedo.
Oh no!
I'm sorry.
That's why there was so much slime in the.
God. Oh no.
Oh it's, my God.
It's very Ocarina of Time when you rescue that princess as well from inside Jabu Jabu. Oh,
yes.
I do see that.
Mm. Why do space whales? What is it with space whales? Space whales are the most like I have seen space whales in this Star Trek, Treasure Planet. There's every single sci-fi story goes, and now space whales. Like they're the first ones to come up with that idea.
Because space is the sea of space. When you think of it, that's where they're spaceships. They're spaceshipping.
Good news! I just googled space whales. Star Wars also has a space whale. Do you guys? Yeah, do you guys know what it's called?
Children. Do they swallow children?
Pergil, yeah.
Let me see. Control F kids, children.
Yeah,
it's the same to do it.
It sucked.
Oh, it's just ended.
I think it's. I always think about that Futurama episode, Whalers on the Moon, where it's like, why would there be whalers on the moon? There's no space whales. I mean, there's also. Go ahead. Sorry.
You're forgetting the big space whale right now. We all are. We're forgetting the big space whale from Torchwood Series 2 episode.
Whatever. Oh, meat. A meat.
Mm-hmm. Only
that would be cool if it was the same one.
Yeah.
The space whale page in TARDIS Wiki has a lot of things about space whales.
Give us a fun fact.
Let's see a fun fact.
The space whales were featured in two Big Finish stories.
Mm-hmm. They were also
where they were voiced by, and I'm seeing here, whalesounds.mp3.
Nick Briggs getting out of paying his actors.
there's the fun fact about space whale TARDIS Wiki page that there are no fun facts. It's just very kind of bland stuff about
The TARDIS Wiki says that the space whale from Meat is the same species as the one for Starship UK.
They're just guessing. Listen, because they're saying this. It says the first appearance of the space whale was TARDIS Cam number 6, which I don't know what that. Oh, it's a webcast written by James Goss in 2002, apparently. The plot.
Hold on a second. What is this TARDIS Cam?
Yeah,
it plot. Consisted of a. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I say the plot is that the TARDIS, Doctor's TARDIS, is resting on the hump of a star whale when it begins to move away from the whale. That's the plot of
Wait, what TARDIS Doctor is it? The Eighth Doctor.
It just says main character is the TARDIS.
Okay.
Yeah.
let's give it up for her.
I know what these are. These are the webcasts that were put on the website in like 2001, and were just like footage. Like, it's just footage of the TARDIS in like random locations.
It was our post 9/11 return to storage. Sorry, we need to edit so much of this out because I don't know yet. Liz 10, let's talk about Liz 10. She's the
brilliant queen. You mean River Song? Mm-hmm. 0.5.
Oh my God! You are right. You are so right. She even said, "Oh,
she's also, of course, Academy Award nominee Sophie Okonedo
for Scream of the Shalka."
Yeah. She was nominated for.
She was nominated for Scream of the Shalka. Yeah, yeah.
And she won. Yeah.
But, what was she nominated for?
Hotel Rwanda. Yeah, and the Queen stuff's like. Whatever. I mean, you know, it's Liz 10, she's got a gun. She just walks around and she puts glasses of water in the ground.
A lot of them. One was not enough.
That water probably stinks now because it's been there for like,
she was investigating.
Years,
yeah. That's all
awesome. I do think it's kind of weird that, you know, the thing that they use to determine whether, like, they're like, it's the doctor because he put the glass of water on the ground. It's like, that's how we know it's here. Nobody has done that ever. It's also like, you only need one glass of water to prove it. So why do you have 15?
I'm pretty sure there's episodes where the doctor comes out and he's like, you can taste the like tang in the air. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously a spaceship. I'm like, what was with dramatics with water?
So weird. Do we ever see Liz 11?
No, but we see Liz 10 again at the end of the run.
They have to get her another song in a room to get her just to prove that they're different.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, who is the current monarch in Doctor Who world?
It's probably who is, because like we didn't see a monarch in the Giggle or anything. We just saw like
no.
We saw Edward Longbridge is who we saw, and who's PM. I guess it's probably Charles, unless they say like, oh, it's actually like fucking, I don't know, John Queen or something.
Frederick Harris.
Yeah, I'm going through Liz 10's Wikipedia page to see if there's any. Like,
surely they're not gagging for her to be a McFinnish. Surely.
I'm hearing she's just got a box set. Liz 10.
Damn you, Nick Briggs.
She has two appearances. She has three appearances. The Beast Below, Pandora Opens, and then Doctor Who Legacy. So she's obviously not answering their phone calls whenever they try. She actually isn't. Like, I just checked. Like, she is a Screamless Shulker and then fucking thing. Good for her. Nick Briggs, I don't like you anymore. So,
thank God the propaganda worked.
I haven't liked him since he played Rick Yates? Rick Yates, because I'm one of those people who, when I see a character on screen, I think they're the real person. So I can't forgive Nicholas Briggs
for Rick Yates was
for working with the Fortnite Briggs.
It was really funny how he was like, I want to be in Torchwood, but can my character advocate for killing kids?
the thing is that like the way like it's filmed and then this cuts to like Nicholas Briggs sitting there is like still just one of the funniest cuts in, like any TV show ever made, because knowing that it's like Nicholas Briggs just sitting there and trying to take him seriously is impossible.
You're not surprised that they're running out of Torchwood characters for the big finish? Surely there's a Rick Yates coming.
I mean, you're joking, but the current
it would be very cost effective. Let's just say that.
Am I wrong in thinking that the current Torchwood Big Finish cast is like four original characters, and then Ace, and then maybe Gwen.
And then like they've pulled in the three from Impossible Planet, Satan Pit.
Oh yeah, and fucking what's her name? Beep beep beep. Her name is Yvonne Hartman.
Yeah.
Yvonne? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's in it.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
I still will not get over the fact that the name of the box set is Among Us. Mm-hmm. And it was released in 2023, so...
They've even got God Among Us, too.
God played by... Sylvia Noble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tune the address. I'm looking at the Torchwood Big Finish Wikipedia page.
I love this. Hold on, I just found this this cover image, which is Billy Manger, Yvonne Harbin in a prisoner wear, holographic Yanto, and then just a random woman to the left.
That's a main character now. That's
is it?
Aang.
She's a golem in that picture.
Why is she
like? Like that's how bad it's getting. Like, and now Billis Manger, RIP Billis Manger.
So the last.
and Miss Tracy Ann Oberman is very problematic.
Mm-hmm. Incredibly.
Oh so, no.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they keep booking her when they're canceling other people for other things, but not.
I will say there's also apparently this woman that we've noticed looks like Gollum is black and white in life.
She's an alien. She's like silver.
Right, okay, well I don't feel as offensive now.
Now it's okay.
Obviously Tracy Ann Oberman, incredibly problematic. The one story I always associate with her is when she went to a restaurant with her husband and her husband ate a napkin by mistake. I don't know if you know about the story that like they brought like a napkin underneath all his food and he ate the entire napkin.
And then what?
And she complained to her, but like, my husband ate a napkin. He feels like a fool. How dare you do this to him? I was like, what the like? How the fuck do you?
Oh, she was mad at it. Oh my god.
Yeah, she was like, how dare you make my husband eat a napkin at this at a fucking restaurant?
Did they put it on the plate or something? Like, I don't know. Did they season it? I don't know how that would confuse.
Maybe transphobia goes to the brain.
It is the mind virus.
a former EastEnders actress has hit at a Michelin-starred chef after her husband tried to eat his water-inflated napkin. Tracy Ann Oldman, 51, best known for playing old Vic Lanley, Chrissy Watts. I'd say she's probably known for playing Von Hartman. Was left baffled by a Spanish restaurant's hot cuisine. Her and husband Rob Cohen's confusion peaked, however, when he nearly tucked into a white dish served in a rope-bound block of stone, which turned out to be his napkin. Talking to Twitter, Mr. Oberman wrote, "You know it's a Michelin star when the napkins are inflated with water in a Neanderthal carvo holder."
What?
Okay, I want to show you a picture of what this guy thought was food. Because I want you to tell me if you saw this, if this came to your table, okay, and like you're in a restaurant, you know, you're in like a fancy restaurant, and like your brain is like riddled with like proper transphobia and you can't really think straight. And, you know, if you see this, would you assume this is food?
What?
No. It looks like a prop from a theme park queue.
Oh, I really see that. Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't put it in my mouth, to be fair. No. Especially if I touched it and it was like moist.
And this is a direct quote. Rob tried to eat it. They were horrified. So, you know, and then she said, bloody Michelin pretentiousness, which, you know, that's
well, you booked that restaurant.
First of all, and also, that looks like too big a portion for food in a Michelin star restaurant, so I'd actually be a bit suspicious immediately.
Oh, yeah. That's the Tracy Ann Oberman napkin corner. Everyone subscribes for. I don't know. It's just a very strange 45 minutes.
Three options. One, I'd let the Starwell continue in unendurable agony for hundreds more years. Two, I kill everyone on this ship. Three, I murder a beautiful, innocent creature as painlessly as I can. And then I find a new name because I won't be the Doctor anymore.
There must be something we can do some other way.
Nobody talk to nobody.
Human has anything to say to me today?
The demon headmaster, he's hanging around with his glasses. He doesn't really do much as the head walks.
Well, he has an action figure, at least. He gets an action figure. Does.
And his glasses on the action figure are like, you know, those like action figure so glasses for like a giant.
Oh, what's his name? Something like an old man name.
Werther's Originals.
His name was An Old Man.
Hang on.
His name was Hawthorne.
Hawthorne, that's an old man. That's like a crotchety, like,
that's somebody's like
butler.
They're becoming like a tree.
Yeah.
Good news, everyone. He is both a playable character and an enemy in Doctor Who Legacy.
Thank God. Is Peter the Winder? No.
He's the Winder.
But he's not in the game. Sorry.
Is Peter not in the game? Oh,
no.
Dick.
Actually, I don't know. I better check.
Can you get your facts, please?
Yeah. I'm looking up what Peter looks like.
If he's...
Is this him? Peter the
Doctor Who Legacy is no longer available.
No, they canceled Doctor. They canceled Doctor Who Legacy. They canceled
Doctor Who Legacy.
Not trying to enough.
They canceled it for not having Peter in it. Can I share it with you as well? Something I saw while scrolling the Beast Below page. The caption and the energy of the photo combined.
Oh, the first time I read it was mildly outraged, and I was like, really no.
Yeah, he's mightily outraged.
By human hand.
Peter the Winder has a very, very, very brief TARDIS wiki page.
Does he have a full action figure when there's companions that don't even have an action figure?
Because they knew we were looking for an action figure and they were like, you know, this is how we get Peter
in. They made it for me. I did buy him, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. There's something that, you know.
So I Google Doctor Who Legacy because I'm like, hey, look, it's a free puzzle game. I open it up. I try to open up an app store, you know, thinking, you know, why not? Let's get a game. So do you guys want to guess what the top Doctor Who apps on the Apple App Store are? I'll give them from top to bottom.
Okay.
So the top one is Doctor Who Lost in Time, the idle game. The second one is an unofficial app called Blue Box Simulator, your personal time machine. I don't know what this is, but I am downloading it, and I'll report later. I'll report it in the final episode of the series, what is Blue Box Simulator.
What an arc for the season.
I know.
yeah. Stay tuned until the last episode. Then we have The Lonely Assassins. Then we have the official Lights Sonic Screwdriver Simulator, which appears to just be a JPEG of the Sonic Screwdriver. Then we have Doctor Who Hidden Mysteries, an app called The Hooniverse, which has not been updated in a while because the first image says Series 11 Premiere Time officially confirmed. Akinator. The character guessing game. What and then called? Dog games, pet vet, doctor care. And finally, BritBox. And then there's just an app called Dalek, like lowercase Dalek. And it appears to be you're driving a Dalek for an American school because there's an American flag here. So there's it. That's it. That's what the doctor.
Oh, I mean, they're all,
yeah. There also is a game called What Would You Choose, This or That, which seems to be like a doctor simulator because it's like, what would you choose? Kill everyone in Starship UK or kill a whale? Like, can we talk? Okay, we talked a little bit about that moment where the doctor gets angry at everyone and how it comes out of nowhere and how it feels so exaggerated. And you guys proposed that excellent idea that if this came after Victory of the Daleks, it would work so much better. But the thing that really gets me about it is that it really does not feel like the 11th Doctor ever gets to this point ever again. Like, and I think this is something they actually sand out of his performance and his character in the next seasons. There are moments in Series 5 where he gets like really angry or really mad or like this. And then after Series 5, I don't really recall him ever getting like that ever again. Like, being like, shit, like, he never gets that mad about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ever. It's kind of weird to watch a Series 5 episode, especially when there's, like, this arc at the start where Amy is really horny and willing to cheat. And right. Then it's like, they sand that completely out of her at the end of this season. And then it's like, it's weird to see the Doctor and the Companion in a way that they aren't portrayed again.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest like change and without any motivation
or like reason for their growth. They just sort of don't be like that anymore.
Yeah, it just feels so harsh. Yeah, I really feel like 11 is more playful. Like, this gives me definitely 10 vibes, which again, I know he just regenerated, so that would make sense if they naturally weaned this.
Yes, and I know as well they were going to, if David Tennant had wanted to stay, it was going to be this kind of storyline that they already went with. So I don't know if that was a remnant of that, or I don't know.
I just don't think it makes a really good introduction of this world or time travel to Amy at all, really. And, you know, as her first adventure, I feel like it suffers a lot in that way because she's not really given a lot to do. Like, as we say, like, she gets gassed and then makes a decision and then saves it at the end. But she's very uninvolved.
I also think her reaction when they show her video back of her learning it is so extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's gagged.
She's like crying and weeping and then being like, well, you need to get the doctor now. I was like, okay, you don't even know what he can do, really.
Yeah. You didn't even know he wasn't even a human at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god, you're right. I didn't realize that. She doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even a human. It also, you were saying that like they send that off by the end of the season. They send that off by like, in this episode, she's not horny for the doctor at all. Next episode, she's also not really horny for the doctor. And then she's not horny for the doctor until like the ending of the Angels two-parter. And then she's really horny for the doctor. For some reason. And then she just never was horny for the doctor ever again. So the whole time is just like, okay, I guess they're trying things out and they're trying new things and they're slowly figuring out. But it really feels weird knowing where we're going to have this this like departure from the character, this like moment of such like, whoa, like daddy got angry. Daddy got angry and mad at us. Yeah. Not in that way, guys.
It's like, the thing is, well, like, I feel like this episode exists solely for, as we were saying before, the kind of the allegory of like the space whale and the doctor being very similar. But it seems to only have the one point of like, guys, if you look at it, they're actually really similar. And never really explains or explores like that angle. It's just like, you know, a repeated thing of like, when you think about it, these guys are both lonely people who like who are aliens, who like kids, who are the last of their kind, and they'll always help kids if they can. That seems to be like the sole purpose of like this entire thing, and it just never really feels like, you know, I guess like natural in terms of how it builds to it. Just feels like, you know, kind of empty, I guess.
Yeah, like I feel like it's much more honest when he does it with Martha and Gridlock, where like they've been through all these things and he's like, right, I'm just gonna tell you my lore because I'm gonna get in the way at a different point where this is like hitting us over the head with it.
It would be really funny if Tam was like, open up, Martha, he comes a lore dump. I'm gonna lore dump on you. And Martha was like, bravo, mama, kudos on you for spilling that. What's the
Oh, what a good reference.
Thank you. I don't even know if I said that right.
That was perfect. I feel like she was in their mother's. Yeah, no, I just feel like this episode has good bits, but ultimately all the bits have been done better elsewhere, like in the end of the world, and then like we talk about with Gridlock. But I also feel like with Kill the Moon, it does a lot better job much later of a conversation about giving humanity a chance to decide what to do with like killing or, you know, like saving themselves and selfishness. I feel like the Doctor's reaction there is a lot more interesting to me, where he actually doesn't get involved. And that is such a pivotal moment for 12 that I feel like maybe was inspired by this episode that didn't really land as well here. Though I saw people be like, oh, they think that this space wheel or the star wheel is what is born out of the moon. I was like, girl, give it up.
So it's in Mate, it's in Kilimanjaro. Yes.
I don't know. It's everywhere.
If you watch, if you watch like the Saranga conundrum very carefully, you'll see it in like 2 pixels in the sky as it flies past.
Have we said about how they should definitely do aliens, but with the Pating? They should definitely do aliens, but with the Pating.
Just bring the Pating back. I just want to get an episode where like the Pating just like walks around for like 45 minutes and like there's nothing. There's no danger. Or anything. Just
wasn't the Pating in the prison anyway?
Yes. No, but I want Shuti to land on the planet, and then it's like, oh, it's one Pating. Oh, that's great. And just 1,000 Pating show up, and it's like, oh, we are fucked. We gotta get out of here right now.
Well, that was gonna happen. That was actually gonna happen at one point. They were gonna do a sequel where it was called
What?
They were gonna go to the planet of the Pating, and there's gonna like a little Patings like bouldering.
This is either the fakest story or the most real story.
It's giving Big Finish box set to me.
It's given how you determine whether or not someone is AI. You go up to them, you say they were gonna do a sequel to the Pating Planet, and if they explode, they're a robot.
I swear they were gonna do this.
I'm sorry, David.
Was this just your wish list? Or
no, I'm so sorry, David.
I swear
the words Pating Planet are not on the Bible. We can.
I don't remember. Honestly, remember reading that like they were going to do a sequel, but it was too expensive because it would be like, you know, you have to animate like 5,000 of these things running around the place and we can't do that. But I genuinely
adipose add the Pating up and that's the sense.
Pating meets adipose.
There you go. That's the new, I haven't listened to the Santarin versus Rutan thing, but from what I've heard, it's
at the Giant's Causeway.
Yeah, it's not really justifying its existence, as what I'm hearing from people. So, you know, if you want to do that again, but with adipose and Pating, then, you know, just run the entire thing again, you know, Giant's Causeway, but this time it's like the Pating and the adipose are like...
Did they randomly bring Keres back
for that,
to the Giant's Causeway?
Yeah, just for that one, he's just back. He's just there with them, and they're hanging out. And they're...
That's so random.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Big Finish just seems to be in a state now where, like, nothing's really happening with them. And, you know, Good for them, I guess. I don't know.
Good for them.
They've got Tom Baker content for millennia at this point.
It's so.
What do you think? There clearly was at some point they brought everyone into a meeting, like a secret meeting, and said, "We all agree we got to record like 10 years of content with this guy before he dies." Right? It clearly was a meeting.
There is, because like I've said this to you, Peter, before. Like we've seen this before. That like you'll go into like some like random Fourth Doctor Big Finish thing. You go into like the behind the scenes thing. They'll say like recording like April 2018. Yeah. It'll be coming out in like April 2023 or something. Like, what the hell? Like, they have like so much stuff recorded from like the last decade that's just going to be sitting there and like degrading for like months on end because you know we found out that digital media can actually degrade now as well. So it's probably like
Jesus Christ.
Do you think that Tom Baker is the star wheel that Big Finish is built on?
Yes. they're gonna let him go, and he's gonna be like, "Actually, I wanted to be here all along.
I love Doctor Who." Yeah.
I'm buying a Smiler action figure, so just everybody knows. And eBay offered me insurance for my Smiler.
Wait. Are you buying Hawthorne or are you buying Peter?
Yeah, you gotta buy.
I'm
Peter.
Buying a Smiler. There's no. I mean, let me see. Doctor Who. He's a winder.
Oh, Peter. but their head turns around.
They wind. Oh, is that what that means? I thought they got little keys around there. What are they?
He's both. He's a 2-in-1.
Hold on a second. There's a River Song Ganger action figure, but she wasn't in that episode.
They were giving like little sachets of slime with everyone in season 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bad news. Yeah. I can get Peter the Winder action figures, but it cost me $30.
Well, I
still have him, yeah. So maybe I should put it on eBay.
There's one here that's on sale for €9.35, but you have to pay €14 postage to get in from the UK. And that's how they get.
That's how they. Yeah. Okay, I need to. This is it. We've already talked about this episode. Fine. I'm going to turn this into a call out session. I'm going to call out the guys who made that Push to Open book, Pull to Open or Push to Open, whatever it's called. Tanikri Films. I'm going to call them out. Their books are really good. They make books about Doctor Who. They're really good. Mm-hmm. But they always fucking get you with the shipping. It's like, if you want to ship it to anywhere outside of the UK, it's €30. And it's like twice the price of the books. Guys, what is going on here? I'll still buy your books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The problem is that, like, it's like a big eBay problem that I've found as well. Like, you'll bid on something, and I was bidding on like it was like Blu-ray of Nashville, and I was bidding on it. I was a winning bid, and it was only like, you know, 15 quid, and like every other copy is like 80 quid because it's out of print. And I was like, yes, great, 15 quid, I'm gonna win. And then it came to like, you know, if this bid wins, here's what you pay. And I was like, 50 quid to pay just to get it into the UK. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not. Paying. It's the same as what with like I wanted to buy the Time Worm books. And like,
oh, expensive. Why?
eBay probably should have like burned my card to the ground. we're not letting you buy these. You have too much to live for. But like, it was the same thing of like, you know, they were 20 quid, and I went to like, okay, that's perfect, 20 quid, buy now, brilliant. And I was like, actually, it's gonna be like 60 quid because, you know, we'll take a cut, and then you need to pay like, you know, VAT. I need to pay like, you know, shipping from the UK on top of that. My point is that they need to invent an eBay for Doctor Who tat that like I'll never use but I want to own, such as, you know, a Smiler or like, you know.
Why is he? I'm sorry. Pima just sent a photo of the Winder figure, and he's standing in the ruins of a city for no reason.
Why is there like an earthquake happening behind him? Like,
he's winding up. Like,
it's the effect of his presence. The world has shaking. If I were to buy this Peter the Winder, I love you guys, but I am not going to buy it because literally it would cost me $30 just to get it. I will settle for a Pating and a Smiler.
I've got good news. I've got good news for you. You can buy on eBay. There's a list in here for Doctor Who, Peg Soldier, and Smiler. You get the
Peg Soldier.
Wait. Send it to me. That's interesting. No, that's interesting.
It's not interesting because you have to pay. It's right now. It's €17.56
Oh,
straight up, and then 14 euro and 71 cents postage for it's sealed, to be fair. But like,
that's good.
The figures you can get with it, because it has like, you know, here are the new figures, are that thing they did where, like, you know, it started with the Adipose where they were like, what if we bundled like 50 of these into like one package because they're so small. So you can buy 50 Cybermats in like a one package for like 20 quid.
My dream come true.
There's also you have the option of corroded Cyberman with chest damage, or if you don't want chest damage, corroded Cyberman with face damage. And they're two different figures that they sold separately that have like no clear difference.
No, they just sent a photo of of the Smiler next to Jenny the Slovene. Okay, that's perfect. I can't say anything better than that.
You can get both of them for a tenner.
That's Big Finish new box set coming up.
Madame Vastra cheats on Jenny with a Smiler. So this listing is crazy.
It's chaotic.
We got to play that game David came up with, which is guessing how much Doctor Who stuff is on eBay. Because it is.
You think?
Sometimes it is insane.
Please look at the photos in this listing. She's gripping the Smiler.
I hate the hiccups. I hate the hiccups.
She's gripping him upside down, looking inside his gown. And. The Silurian is thrown to the ground. There's also a random unicorn in the background at some point.
I will say, it is. She is gripping the Smiler, but she's holding Vastra tenderly.
Yeah, she's got her pinky out like it's like a cup of tea. she's got like a Coke meal.
Do this anymore.
Oh my god.
My stomach hurts so much.
Please, can we please link this, put this listing in the links below? One fan, please buy it and
condition use.
Condition sweaty.
Yeah.
The flash was on. Yeah. The flash was on in the Smiler picture.
That's when you put accidentally open the front facing camera and Snapchat, you're like, really good.
Only $9.99.
Bargain.
Oh my god.
I'm sweating.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sweating. Oh fuck!
What else is this person selling?
They're selling a naked Gaston from Beauty and the Beast with one shoe.
What has he been through?
Why is he only wearing one shoe and nothing else? And there's a baby shoe beside it. Baby shoe for sale, never used.
Oh my god!
Oh my! God. No more Doctor Who figures, though. Well, also, we were looking up, Paul just found like a commemorative medal of a Smiler.
It's actually like from, it's like a real coin. I think it's a royal.
Is that the highest mint. The highest rank in the military?
Yes, you can become a Smiler. No, but it's literally made by the Royal Mint. Can I go in and let's go and try and buy something with that?
I mean, what's it worth, do you think?
$13.99
I gotta go to Gallifrey one again, because last time I went there, it was all of these for like $10. It was literally all of these for just $10, and I really need these again.
there's a Peter the Winder medal as well.
Right, that's your Christmas presents. Right,
oh my god! Yeah, don't show me.
Oh man.
Oh god. Sorry, I'm still going through this person's eBay page. So let's see.
Do they have any other Doctor Who figures at all?
I don't think they do.
They have Fortnite stuff. That's about it. They have a Homer Simpson metal ornament for $14.99.
They're selling a lot of Barbies and such with no clothes.
They are.
Suspiciously. It's Zhang Mo.
Very worrying.
Oh my god, 9 pages of 60 items on each page.
It was that serious.
It was that serious.
What is... what is any of this stuff? There's like some stuff here that I feel like has to be like just fake.
I just got to the metal ornament of Homer's head.
Mm-hmm. It's rare, apparently. They're selling a pair of BNWT Next Age 5 years skinny blue jeans with keyring. If you want to buy skinny jeans with a keyring, it's £10 or best offer plus.
Their prices are high.
They are. They're very high.
That's the thing about these fucking people who sell these fucking things. If all of this was $2, I would gladly pay them.
You can buy a commemorative bowl of Annie from the movie Annie for £5 from them if you want to.
Support local businesses.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of sharks. They're selling a lot of shark toys.
Oh my god, there's more pages than I even thought.
There is. I'm on page 10 and I still haven't found anything else to do with Doctor Who. It's all this like Disney stuff. A Spyro plate. There's a Julia Donaldson Gruffalo tote bag for £7.50 for the Gruffalo fan home. Barbie's Ken doll. There's really nothing. Maybe they're pivoting to Smiler figures now.
Yeah.
First draw.
They're trying to make it big.
Mm-hmm. There's an Among Us plush they're selling. If you want to buy that. More dinosaurs. There's nothing. There's no other Doctor. What? I don't know. I could sit here and just go through this person's eBay selling stuff. Skyward Sword. They have a brand new sealed copy of Skyward Sword for the Wii for £70. If you want to buy that as well.
£70?
for a sealed copy of a Wii game that's been remade like 5 times. Yeah. I don't know. I'm my stomach still really hurts.
That was amazing. What a fantastic discovery, you know.
Mm-hmm. You can buy the Croods from them if you want to buy the Croods. There's a Thanos plush. I'm getting close.
They have multifaceted interests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're very much into just shit. I don't know.
Well, it is. I can confirm they come from a smoke-free home. So.
You can smoke all the Henson veggies you want, not a Smiler when you get it, but like at the moment,
in that Smiler listing, it says the Smiler's head is marked on the back, so I don't know what's going on.
They were vaping. I don't know. I'm skipping a page. I'm on page 20 of this person's 20. Page 20. There's still nothing. It's just like creepers and stuff. Page 22. We're on page 22 when there's nothing here. This is riveting, absolutely riveting stuff. I'm on page 24 and there's still nothing. I'm going to give it to page 26 because I really can't. Oh, there's nothing on page 26 at all. There's no listings on page 26. But they do have, if you want to buy, is there anything interesting here you can buy? You can buy a vintage Walt Disney's 101 Dalmatians necktie, quirky, colorful Disney dogs for £12.30 or best offer postage not specified. So, you know, that's probably.
Well, that's where they get you.
Mm-hmm. It's probably 70,000 quid in my company. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm out of notes, and I'm absolutely like
I'm out of water. I laughed so much, and I was sweating so much. I genuinely had to go. I've been quiet because I had to go take a sip of water. That's how much I was like, Jesus, like that was amazing. What a fantastic discovery.
But yeah, I suppose if we are done, then you know it's time for you both to give a plug to something, but you gotta give your plug in the form of a poem, otherwise you're gonna go down the elevator.
Get ChatGPT.
Yeah. In many ways the Smilers are ChatGPT. Because
I'm sorry, it's again my programming to talk about the beast below. My bad. Sorry, I can't. It's again my content guidelines to talk about the beast below. The beast below.
You don't do a poem, but if you want to do a poem, you can.
I wish I had a poem.
Yeah. I had a teacher once who was like, "Poems are just music without music.
That's so true.
Yeah.
What teacher was this in what subject? Music?
She was an English teacher. She's an English teacher who did not like us at all. So, fair play to her. But if we're talking about music,
that is a good segue.
Yeah.
Yes, you can follow Pete and I over at Snapped Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We do weekly episodes about random pop girlies and different albums and eras that we really love from our childhood. We've covered Miley Cyrus, Gaga, Taylor, Britney, so many iconic queens. We'll have to get on to Tallulah. Is her name Tallulah? No, what's her name?
Oh, Tallulah.
Tallulah, yes. Tallulah season. Tallulah episode coming in season 3. But yeah, if that sounds interesting, you can check us out over there.
But no Liz 10, unfortunately.
No, she's a silent song.
Song for 10, maybe, but...
Yeah, I don't know. That's I think that's it. You can go to eBay if you want and buy industry grade smiley figures.
What was her name? We need to give her a shout out. Shout out to OZZL69.
This week's sponsor, you know.
Yeah, I'm getting more after that.
Keep being you, girl.
Next time on Pod Tour, who cast?
Winston Churchill.
Doctor, is it you?
Cabinet war rooms, right?
Yep.
I have something to show you.
Our new secret weapon.
This is one of my iron sights.
You're what?
I am your soldier.
He didn't invent their alien.
They will win me the war.
They're up to something, but what is it? What are they after?
I've defeated you time and time again.
I saved the whole of reality for you.
I am the Doctor.
And you are the Daleks.
Behold the restoration of the Daleks.